Welcome back. Lofted to the back of the end zone. No struggles today. A second touchdown. This one to Robinson. And that is Allen Robinson's first touchdown as a Chicago Bear.
Third down. First quarter winding down. Trubisky. Robinson. Allen Robinson. Touchdown Bears.
From the 22-yard line now. Trubisky stepping up.
Fires on the sideline. Robinson makes the catch.
Pulls to the end zone. He's got a man. And caught for the touchdown, Robinson.
Well, it's man coverage. This time Marshawn Lattimore is on Allen Robinson. A really good route at the top. He sticks it to the post. Yeah, I saw that in real time. It looked like, did he have it? And that's a nice job.
Allen Robinson left a real nice legacy in Chicago. Simply put, one of the best wide receivers in Bears history. A couple thousand-yard seasons while he was here. As we welcome you back into the Rahimi and Harris Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am Mark Grody, filling in for Layla Rahimi today. And it is a pleasure to be joined by A-Rob, Allen Robinson, who did play with the Bears from 2018 to 2021. Had great chemistry with Mitch Trubisky. He is also the host of the Press Release Podcast. So he's out here podcasting as well. And maybe selfishly, most importantly to me, he was a winner of the Media Good Guy Award for dealing with us, the Bears media, in a very cordial and complimenting way. Allen Robinson joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Allen Robinson, what's going on, man? It's a pleasure to have you on The Score.
How you doing, man? It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Yeah, no, we, Marshall and I, have been pumped up to talk to you. I do want to talk a little bit about you right now. I mean, you've had a long, great NFL career, over a decade now, 11 years. You were with Detroit last year. What's cooking, man? What are you up to now? Are you still thinking about, are you still wanting to get out there and hook up with an NFL team?
Definitely. You know, that's always a possibility for myself. You know, again, I'm in phenomenal shape. Again, so, you know, if the right opportunity presents itself, you know, then I'll be all for it. But at the same time, you know, again, based on what I've done in my career, the places that I've been, you know, I feel good about where everything is at, you know. So, again, if the right opportunity presents itself, you know, I'll be ready. But, you know, ultimately, you know, doing some media stuff, you know, I have a Press Release Podcast. Go follow us on Instagram and on YouTube. So me and Prince Amukamara, actually, he spent some time in Chicago as well. You know, so we have a podcast going and we're excited to start up as week one approaches, you know, to be able to talk some funny locker room stories and just to kind of talk about, you know, week to week, what it's like in the landscape of the NFL.
That's awesome, man. As it just so happens, Allen, tomorrow, Dan Weeder and I, we host the Take the North podcast, which we loved having you on recently. Prince Amukamara going to be on the show tomorrow, man.
Oh, okay, so you got both sides of the podcast.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, we got the dueling. Did you go up against, I don't remember, did you go up against him in practice or did Kyle Fuller have your attention during those practices back in the day?
Both. Kyle, yeah. And Prince. You know, Prince was a press guy, so I always like to get a lot of work against him. You know, me and Prince also played with each other in Jacksonville as well. You know, so we had a lot of experience of each other for the time in Jacksonville. So once I got to Chicago, you know, he was a familiar face, you know, so we definitely got some one-on-one reps during training camp as well.
Okay, so Allen, because this is a podcast that you guys are doing, you and Prince, and you're going to have some behind-the-scenes stories, giving us some insight, I want, for our audience, your best Ben Johnson locker room story that you can share with us, because I really think people want to get some insight into their new head coach.
Man, Ben, now, funny locker room stories, I don't know about any funny, man. Ben is a pretty serious, locked-in dude, you know, and he's like that constantly. You know, Ben, every blue moon, you know, been a crack one of those kind of evil smiles, if you will, you know, but kind of the best experience that I have and that I can remember, and we kind of saw a little bit in preseason, is, you know, when you see guys rolling, and when Ben Johnson's teams, for us, it was the offense playing well, when you see Ben Johnson flexing on the sideline, you know it's a good Sunday. You know, for us, I specifically remember Seattle Seahawks game. I think they brought a blitz zero and we had some sort of a deep cross concept called and we scored. It was like a 70-yard touchdown to Jamison Williamson. And, you know, Ben was flexing hard, man. And that was pretty early in the season. So I was not, you know, I had just kind of got to Chicago, and seeing that energy from Ben on the sideline as a coordinator to see how serious he took those chess matches versus defensive coordinators, man, it was phenomenal and truly awesome to see, man, to have a coach who's that locked in, you know, very similar to a player. You know, you see a player get a first down, get a touchdown, they do their celebrations. You know, when Ben Johnson's dialing up, you know, some blitz zero beaters and some beaters on third down, man, he gets pretty turned up, and it's pretty exciting to see as a player.
Okay, I love that you said that, because here's what we've been getting from the Bears players, Alan, this sense that they don't almost know what to make of Ben Johnson because he is so serious. So he doesn't really crack the jokes, and he is serious, as you're describing. Is he scary? Because they're making him sound kind of scary.
Listen, man, Ben is one of those guys, you know, he's kind of like Dr. Jekyll's a little bit, you know. You know, he has that kind of mad scientist feel to him. But I'll say this, you know, for those guys, and you can kind of see and hear in the media as well, man, as those guys are, you know, I don't even want to say coming around to Ben, but as they continue to learn and understand Ben, man, you have such a great appreciation with, you know, because he pushes the guys extremely hard, man. But, you know, many different instances last season, what I see him, you know, love up the players, you know, if it's, you know, something that may not go right, or, you know, him having to, you know, stay after to talk to guys, you know, Ben also has that ability and has that connection for his players, you know, because when you get into a meeting after game day, just as much as I saw Ben tell us that we have to play better as a group, I've also saw Ben after the Tampa Bay game last year in Detroit, you know, Ben said that he didn't feel like he had a big enough plan for us going into the red zone in Tampa game. And he said, you know, he told us as players, you know, I'll take full accountability for that, and that will never happen again. You know, so when you have a coach who not only holds his players to such a high standard, but also himself to such a high standard as a player, man, you can't do anything except respected to the ultimate, you know, amount, just as far as, you know, him as a coach. You know, he's a much respected coach.
Let me ask you this. We're talking to former Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson. He is the host of the Press Release podcast. Go seek it out. Give it a listen. He does it with Prince Abukamara, both part of what was really just a great 2018 season until it wasn't a great 2018 season. And we might get a little bit nostalgic on that here in just a little bit. Or we could do it right now if you'd like.
Sounds like, listen, you want to do it right now.
Even when you say that, you know, whenever I hear a 2018, I literally hear of two thuds.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry, man.
Listen.
Good job, Gertie.
It's so funny. Whenever I hear that sound of a kick hitting the upright, for whatever reason, I think of that game in particular, because it was just, the stadium was almost silent. Obviously, it's the last play of the game. You know, it's a game-winning moment, so the stadium is silent. And when you hear a cold football hit the crossbar, you know, it's such a loud sound.
It's like almost, boing, boing, boing.
Yeah. Literally. Granted, it's not as loud as lightning, but it has the same weight in it, you know, as far as thunder, excuse me. It's not the same sound as thunder, you know, but it has the same weight when you hear that bar, when you hear that ball hit the bar in that moment, and then hit the crossbar. So
it was
I apologize for Mark. He likes to invite guests on and traumatize them.
I feel like Alan needed to talk about this. Okay. I feel like this is a therapy session here right now. Because honestly, Alan, that's every single Bears fan. There was a preseason game last week where Cairo Santos hit the bar, and everybody's tweeting doink, 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 doink. Not double doink, literally, but it was just doink. So there is a certain trauma that has been instilled in Bears fans, and obviously, it's still in you. Dude, I was covering the sidelines for you guys, Alan. So I was down there. It was just like you guys were just frozen. Like nobody really said anything. Because there's you're powerless. You're so powerless over the moment with 64,000 fans jacked up. Everybody thinking the Bears are going to advance onto the second round of the playoffs, and then that happens. It was harsh, man.
Definitely. You know, obviously playing my career. You know, 4 years in Chicago, but you know, I do feel that myself and the fans, you know, we are a little bit trauma bonded, you know, from from just some of those experience, you know, that one in particular.
Trauma bond. I mean, there's one more question about 2018 or that era. And then we'll move on to the now. We'll talk about the Bears wide receivers with you, more on Ben Johnson. But the last question that I will ask you about is Mitch Trubisky, because you did have unbelievable chemistry with Trubisky. What happened, and do you think he got a fair chance in Chicago?
You know, fair, I would say nothing in the league as far as opportunities are fair, you know, across the board, you know. So that's so tough to say. You know, if you're coming into the NFL and expecting a fair opportunity or fair anything, you know, if you will, then you're doing yourself a disservice. But do I think that he should have gained, you know, enough leash to maybe have another year? I would say so, you know, and I would say I think something that Mitch did very well was Mitch had the communication and Mitch had the chemistry with the players as a group. You know, going into my last year in Chicago, you know, I do think that, you know, Mitch had the room as far as having the connection with Tariq Cohen, having the connection with Anthony Miller and myself and some other guys, you know, David Montgomery.
Yeah.
Cole Kmet, you know, we had the chemistry to whereas, you know, another offseason may have been able for us to improve that much more to be able to, you know, get to the playoffs again and maybe actually make some noise in the playoffs. Because for us, it wasn't that we were trying to become a team that's, you know, trying to get into the playoffs. We were, you know, we made the playoffs two times in those 4 years, 3 years with Mitch, two times in 3 years. So for us, it just was about now making some noise in the playoffs. And I think having another offseason under our belt, you know, I think that would have been more of a possibility, you know, rather than kind of starting over. And it was a lot of moving parts.
Allen Robinson joining us here on the Raheem and Harris Show with Mark Grody and for Layla, the 11-year NFL wide receiver, of course, spending time with the Bears. As Grody so accurately pointed out, from 2018 to 2021, I'm so curious as to your thoughts on the Bears receiver room right now, because I'm just trying to figure out, there's only one football, Allen, who's getting the ball and how much when you talk about all the talent they have in that receiving room right now, plus the tight ends, of course.
You know, the number one thing for that entire offense, really this year, a theme will probably be sacrifice. You know, and again, I saw that a lot in Detroit last year with the amount of weapons that we had in Detroit. Obviously, Jameson Williams could have got the ball more. Jahmyr Gibbs could have got the ball more. David Montgomery could have got the ball more. Sam Laporta could have got the ball more. But when you have those are good problems to have, you know, and I think that Chicago, with some of the weapons that they have, you know, Cole Kmet, you know, drafting a rookie tight end who's very talented, you know, bringing in Luther Burden, who's another talented rookie, but also having Olamide Zaccheaus and DJ Moore, you know, Rome Odunze, you know, having such a deep skill position group, you know, guys can't get frustrated and guys have to keep the main thing, which is being able to win games, because they all will have the opportunities. But there will be instances and matchups and games where somebody may get the short end of the stick when it comes to targets and opportunities. But, you know, you have to stay locked in, because when you're in a situation and you have Ben Johnson as your coach, a guy who's coming in, you know, wanting and hoping to take this team to the next level, you're looking to play, you know, 20 plus games this season. So you have to be ready to mentally be along for the ride, have that mental mental stamina as you go throughout the course of the season. You know, you have to ride the ebbs and flows of, you know, opportunity and always stay ready for yours.
I know there's no way you could have seen the full you know, work put in last year by Caleb Williams in all 17 games, but you did see him close up at least in a couple of games against Detroit. What do you think of Caleb Williams, and can he still be a great quarterback in the NFL?
Definitely. You know, again, for whatever reason, you know, and I think that it's a little bit tough because it's the city of Chicago and they haven't had that, you know, guy come in and have that first year success. When I say first year success, I mean very, very high success, like a Jaden Daniels. But I don't think that people should, you know, be at all down on the rookie season that he had. You know, he has some ebbs and flows, did a lot of good things, you know, did a lot of things that need improvement as well. But when it comes to just being a rookie, you know, having some of the moving parts, obviously him learning some different things. I believe they made a coordinator change. You know, obviously it, you know, they fired a coach and so on and so forth. So, you know, doing different things like that throughout the course of the season is always tough, you know. So with what he had to take on, you know, I don't think that Bears fans should be discouraged at all. You know, again, it's a rookie season. You know, he has to grow. He has to learn. He has to continue to polish his game to figure out, okay, after you go back after a rookie season and evaluate your own film, what were my strengths this year? What were my weaknesses? What are things that I have to totally get rid of? And having a whole course of an offseason to be able to evaluate that, you know, I think should be extremely encouraging for Bears fans, seeing, you know, just what he was able to do last year in a pretty revolving door kind of situation when it came to things that were moving within the organization.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think this quarterback is in the best position that a Bears quarterback has been in a long time to be developed because of the coaching staff, because of the players around him as well. But, Alan, you're obviously very well aware of Bears history and the quarterbacks. I mean, you kind of indicated it in your answer there. Do you have a theory on why quarterback play has just been so good quarterback play has just been so hard to come by in the city of Chicago? Do you have a theory?
I don't have a theory, you know, but to be honest, man, quarterback, sometimes that position is hard for a lot of different cases. You know, as a person who grew up a Detroit fan, you know, my entire childhood, you know, was struggles at the quarterback position and other positions, you know, and now obviously they have Jared Goff as their guy and they've been able to have success over the past few years. But you know, before Matthew Stafford, it was Joey Harrington, John Kitna's, you know what I'm saying? So just to kind of give an example, you know, the same again with Minnesota, you know, they were able to kind of get, you know, Brett Favre at that point in time. But once after Dante Culpepper, you know, you had Brad Johnson, Gus Frerotte, you know, you had a lot of different guys. And, you know, it's not always easy to be able to do that. You know, some teams kind of, you know, find a solid, you know, half a decade or so that when they get a guy to be able to truly compete and contend, you know. But you know, I think the Bears, where they're at right now, you know, is in a very good position. Obviously they have a very high touted quarterback that they drafted a year ago who's now going into his second year, and you know, even and he's a Cali kid, you know, so even as he kind of you know, playing in Cali and coming from USC, you know, being able to get adjusted to playing in the Midwest and so on and so forth. You know, again, I think it's small tricks of the trade sometimes that can take a player to the next level, especially when you're talking about that position.
Alan, I love talking to you. I you know, maybe at some point in time, you and I could just do the full deep dive on 2018 because, you know.
Definitely. But,
you
definitely.
Know, I mean, I'd love to do that. Would love to have you back on the podcast at some point in time. Speaking of podcasts, your podcast, again, Press Release Podcast. Obviously, you guys talk football. I'm guessing you talk NBA on that podcast, too, if I know you like I think I know you.
Yeah, you know, we talk a lot of stuff. You know, we talk a lot of stories. You know, like you just kind of hinted at, I'm a big NBA guy.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm very excited for this season. You know, and for myself, you know, now that, you know, I've had a little bit more time over this offseason, you know, again, I'm a big sports guy in general. You know, I love going to basketball games, baseball games. I'm excited, you know, as we kind of approach September and towards the end of September, I'm excited for October baseball. You know, so, you know, for me, I'm a sports guy. You know, I grew up playing basketball, baseball, and football. So, you know, when it comes to, you know, kind of those big three of sports, you know, I really enjoy them all. And I enjoy to talk about them all as well.
Hey, Rob, what would you pay Josh Giddey to stay a Chicago Bull? He said he's a basketball guy. No, I want that man's thoughts.
He is.
Listen, in NBA, typically the market speaks, you know. I'm curious to see, man, because, again, I mean, he's a younger guy. You know, he came into the league extremely young as well. You know, it just kind of depends on where the Bulls are going and the direction that they're going in. You know, I believe this year will be a year that the Eastern Conference will be pretty wide open. Obviously, you have Jason Tatum coming off an Achilles injury. You have Dame Lillard, who's not in Milwaukee anymore. You have Tyrese Halliburton, who's coming off of an Achilles injury as well. You know, so if it's any time for some of the teams who want to kind of strike or really improve their team or kind of make a run in the East, I think that it will be this year.
The Press Release Podcast.
Bulls won't be doing that this year, I can tell you that.
And Alan,
listen, I mean, hey, man, Detroit, you know, it was a lot of people that didn't think that they would be where they would be at last year, you know, but they had, obviously, Cade, you know, he took a step and so on and so forth. But, you know, I mean, listen, man, like I said before, I think the Eastern Conference is just one of those conferences that, you know, right now, you just kind of, you never know. You have the Knicks and Cavs, who are heavy favorites at the top of the conference this year with some injuries, obviously Milwaukee as well with Giannis. But as far as, you know, the rest of the conference, you know, I think it's pretty wide open, just as far as kind of positioning and kind of where teams can fall throughout the course of the year.
Alan, just great stuff. Loved having you on. And just know this, too. I understand that you're from Detroit. We love Detroit. You played with the Lions last year, which is very cool. I know you played with the Rams. You, sir, will always be a Bear. Do you understand that?
I appreciate that, man. And for myself, man, I always have an extreme and immense amount of love for the city of Chicago. You know, for myself, you know, coming there as a pretty young guy. I think I was 24 years old when I signed there, you know, so I feel like I kind of grew up in Chicago a little bit, you know, and had some of the best years of my career, you know, in Chicago. So I have a ton of love for the city, for the fans, you know, for the Chicago Bears organization.
Alan, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks,
Alan.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yep, there goes Alan Robinson.
Keep listening, by the way, for your chance to win a pair of general admission tickets to Riot Fest on Sunday, September 21st, featuring performances by Green Day, Idols, Bad Religion, Inhaler, and more. And you might even see Mark Grody.
Maybe. No, you know, if you look hard, you probably will find me there. Coming up next here on the Raheem and Harris Show, we're going to talk Bears overs and unders on the offense. I am looking forward to this. It is Raheem and Harris with me, Mark Grody, on The Score.
Raheem and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Raheem and Harris on The Score with me, Mark Grody, filling in for Lales. This hour sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com, affordable implants, life-changing smiles. Let's take some guesses on the Chicago Bears, shall we?
Educated guesses.
We'd like to think educated guesses. Some people might take exception to that.
I'm doing really well lately in the sports gambling world.
Oh, I didn't know you were you got the app? You got one of the apps?
No, but I've made a lot of predictions that are looking real good. I think Kyle Raleigh was like, I want to say 550-1 plus 550 for AL MVP. I'm loving where I got that. You look at it now. You ain't getting that number.
Yeah, it's hard to look past 50 bombs. Has he gone over 50? I know he hit his 50th.
He's at 50, I think.
Jesus, man. Let us bring in for this segment that we were about to do, Robbie the Tree Triano, who is executively producing this show here today.
So I have a list of player props for the Bears this year. Offensive players only. These are courtesy of our friends at FanDuel. And the first one we're going to do, it has to do with the quarterback. Caleb Williams over under passing yards, 3,625. Let me just give some context. Last year, he had 3,542. Does Caleb Williams go over or under 3,625?
Mark, give me the over, and I'm going to explain why. Two things. One, the majority of these yards will be had in the back half of the season when things really get cooking with this offense. Two, they're going to be down in a lot of these games, so they're going to be passing a lot in the second half early in the season. The combination of that, give me 4,000 yards on the season for Caleb.
Wow, you're going 4,000.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm going to go 4,000, but I am going to take the over. All the reasons that you gave were very good. I would also say that there has to be a Ben Johnson effect. There can't not be a Ben Johnson effect for Caleb Williams, or the coach that you brought in for the big bucks wasn't worth it. I know this is 1 year that we're talking about, but I am counting on the Ben Johnson bump. He might get to 4,000 yards. And again, I said this yesterday too, we kind of have to recalibrate our 1,000 yards for rushing, 1,000 yards for receiving, 4,000 yards for quarterbacks, because it is a 17-game season. It is easier to accomplish now for Bears quarterbacks than it had been with the 16-game season and even the 13-game season prior to that. Or was it 11?
No, Vegas knows that. So that's why Vegas has the numbers. Trust me, these are well done by Vegas.
That's a good point. I forget how exacting the Vegas odds makers are.
They're here to make money.
They are here to make money. So we're both on the over on that, Bob Tree.
So if he has 4,000 yards, is that a successful season for Caleb Williams?
I mean, I would think so. I mean, we have to see how it looks, what's the word I'm trying to think of?
I'm not going to call them garbage yards, Mark, but I'm telling you, if they're down by 20 points to somebody and he's out here throwing for 200 yards in the second half, they might lose the game and he still ends up with 400 yards.
Hold on. I just recalibrated my thoughts on this. Who gives a crap if it's garbage time or it's sloppy getting to 4,000? If a Bears quarterback gets $4,000, $4,000 yards, I will not look back and try to nitpick that. I will celebrate on the streets
even
of Chicago.
Even if he has 20 interceptions? I think you're way putting too much on the 4,000 yards.
Yeah, that's kind of meatball-y, too.
Yeah, it's super meatball-y.
It's like my Aunt Rhonda yesterday, because we threw out the question yesterday, like, what's a successful season for the Bears? She's such a meatball. She said that the Bears beating the Packers twice is a successful
two wins
season.
But they're both against the Packers.
I agree with you, Aunt Rhonda. I love you, because she's probably listening right now.
Let's talk about the people that Caleb Johnson will be throwing the ball to. Let's talk about his number one receiver, DJ Moore. Vegas has DJ Moore over under 975.5 receiving yards.
Give me the under, Mark.
I'm sorry. I was looking at the text
line. It's 975.5 yards receiving for DJ Moore. You want the over or the under?
Wow.
975.5.
This is good. You said under?
Give me the under.
Go on.
Give me the under.
And?
There's too many mouths to feed. We just heard Allen Robinson talking about the sacrifice that Ben Johnson talks about.
Good call.
And I just believe that they're also going to get the ball to DJ Moore specifically in other ways. So he may very well have 1,000 total yards, but I don't think he's going to get the 975.5 over on the receiving.
It's pretty well laid out by you. Plus, I don't know what's going on with, in terms of who will be the guy that, there's always going to be a guy.
It's Rome.
That they want to be.
It's Rome.
It might be Rome.
I say that not just because they want, but Caleb want. That Caleb to Rome thing is real.
It seems convenient, right? They both come in as first rounders. They're buddies. They like to be photographed together, like the whole thing. And he did have, again, relative to a 17-game season, he did have a decent year last year, Rome Odunze. You want that to be a whole lot better. Just a quick text here. Grody, will it please you more if Caleb gets 4,000 yards in 16 games? Thank you. That's all I wanted to hear. Will it please you?
What?
Because I asked that question to
I remember.
Moore. You know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. Please, that's what I said. What?
Don't make me have to play that again. And then somebody said, yeah, Marshall, like the Cubs overtaking the Brewers.
Yeah,
as your predictions.
The Cubs are going to catch the Brewers. Y'all can hammer me all you want.
I'm hammering you.
They're
going to
catch them. They're going to catch
them. Hammer there, hammer everywhere.
They're going to catch them. And you know, I want them to keep the same energy. I want them to keep the same energy, because I've had a lot of people on me. Oh, yes, they got blown out last night. Was it a bad loss? Absolutely. What? One out of 162? Do I look like I'm concerned?
A little bit. Your eyes are really wide right now.
I'm animated, not concerned.
Bob Tree, what do you got for the next question?
You brought up a name too, Rome Odunze. He's wide receiver 2, could be wide receiver 1 by the end of the year. His over-under for receiving yards, 850.5.
Give me the up. Give me the over.
Well, that's pretty
easy
obvious.
Over.
We knew that you were going to go over on that. Oh, boy. What did you have last year? You got that up right now, Robbie?
Last year, Rome Odunze, he had 734.
Give me the over.
Yeah. That was like
he had games where he was non-existent too.
Honestly, when I looked at his numbers at the end, they were like, "Oh wow, he ended up having 730 yards." Okay,
let me give it to you straight. 17 goes into 850. How many times?
I don't know. Are you seriously asking me?
No, I'm saying if you just divide 17 by 2, you get 8.5.
Okay. Never ask me to do. I know you like asking little questions like that.
It's 50 yards a game.
Okay.
Yeah. It's 50 yards a game.
Yeah.
It's 50 yards a game.
Right. One would think that he could accomplish that.
Yes.
Okay, we're on the same page. Over.
So here's another question to tie to those two. Who will finish with more receiving yards this year? DJ Moore, Rome Odunze? I think I know where Marshall's going.
I think it's going to be Rome Odunze.
Yeah, he's basically already
As long as
that.
DJ Moore is getting the ball in the way I think he's going to get a ball. In other ways, he's going to end up with more. I can see this. DJ Moore with more total yards than Rome Odunze, but Rome Odunze with more receiving
There's
yards.
There's not a player I'm more excited to watch in the Bears offense besides Caleb Williams than DJ Moore.
Well,
I think how he's going to be used, seeing what I saw from the Lions offense, seeing what he could have an Amon-Ra type of role, plus the Jameson Williams rushing jet sweep type of role, DJ Moore is going to be a problem.
I would think Odunze is better suited for the jet sweep, but
I don't know about that. I like DJ's elusiveness. Like he gets, because of his size, which is not great.
But when you think about what a jet sweep is, it's just raw speed. That's the point.
Yeah, but DJ Moore is not a slow man.
No, I'm not saying he's slow.
I mean, that's a fast guy.
Rome's faster though, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like Did you feel his speed last year? I did not feel Roma Dunze's speed last
year. I didn't feel much of anything from Roma Dunze. When he said how many yards he caught, I was like, it was that many? That's the way I thought about it.
We didn't see him in open space enough. You know, like run, you know, catch and run. Like we didn't see enough of
Guess what? They got a schemer now.
Yeah, they do.
They got somebody who could scheme him open.
Yep, that's true.
And then he can also just get open.
Well, here's the thing. We're talking about DJ Moore being in the backfield. It's not just that. You know, what they figured out last year, too, was just pass. Just do a quick slant to this guy. Just do a quick
screen. And let him go to work.
And let him cook. And they figured that out too late. That's the one thing that I don't know if Ben Johnson actually looked back at the tape and saw that. That's the one thing that seems to have carried over from last year's offense.
He's
under
their
Shane
best
Waldron.
Playmaker, period.
Yeah.
DJ Moore.
Let's go to the running back before we have to break. DeAndre Swift, there's two questions. This is the first one. DeAndre Swift rushing yards, 800.5. 800
what?
Rushing yards.
Yeah, way over.
What? Way
over. He's going to be 1,000 yards back.
Last year, DeAndre Swift had 959 rushing yards.
I had DJ Moore in my brain for some reason. That's why I was like,
hey, who was he running behind last year? Not these guys. Give it to him.
Yeah, it's an over. Over. That's the over. That's the over. I like the way DeAndre Swift
And for
Swift
him,
is
the rushing touchdowns is 5.5
yep.
last year.
It's Ben Johnson's offense.
Six.
It's Ben Johnson's offense.
Plus, as of right now, he's their only running back.
Listen, Ben Johnson's offense. Let him go. Let him go.
Yeah, no
You got one
about.
More for us, though, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
The last one.
A little something, something.
This is a tight end that is new to the team, and I don't know what his role is going to be because there's Cole Kmet. But how many receiving yards will Colson Loveland get? The over-under from Vegas is 550.5.
That's tough.
It is tough. I'll tackle this one. I'll take a leap of faith and say the over. Just from watching how they have been using him in the practices, even in the preseason games, when you see some of the pre-snap motion and where he is planting, where he is lining up, I feel like they've got big plans for Colston Loveland. So I'm not saying he's going to have 1,000 yards, and I'm not saying much over the 550, maybe 650, 750, something like that. I'm not saying he's going to run crazy, but I've seen enough of Colston Loveland to know, or at least think, he moves differently in a good way, and that Ben Johnson truly loves this player.
It's 32.4 yards per game.
I know. I saw him. I was like, he's pulling out the calculator.
Yeah, I was like, come on. I was like, it's between 30 and 35 yards a game. I was like, yeah. But I wanted to tell the people the exact number. Yes, give me the over.
You are good at math. You did well in math in school.
I didn't take any math in college because I had 9 hours of math college credit when I graduated high school.
Meaning you were good in math.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just found out yesterday that David Haugh is like he loves math.
Yeah,
like it's really.
Dave and
like,
I have a lot of similarities.
That's Why? Interesting.
We're going to get together on a Scrabble board and handle some of our similarities.
I love it. I hope his workout is going well right now.
He's probably in the cold tub right now.
He looks pretty jacked
I'm
up.
I'm going to go in there and drop some matches and see how many you think are like out of the box.
Wow.
When we return, it will be time for halftime. What are we talking about at halftime? Because I think we got a really good topic.
So we've got this innovative thing that someone came up with as far as weddings go, and a way to make your wedding guests feel more comfortable and maybe have a more enjoyable time. Everyone isn't on board, but I am, and I think Mark Grody and everybody else around here will be too.
Coming up next on the Raheemy and Harris Show with me, Mark Grody, on the score.
Triple A.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
It's the Raheemy and Harris Show on the score. I am Mark Grody filling in for Layla Raheemy once again today. It is halftime. So far on the show today, we did talk about the crazy bad Cubs game, a loss in San Francisco 12-3, which just really got out of control after the fifth inning with Rafael Devers hitting a couple of home runs, but wacky things happened in the game, and we went through some of that. We also talked about badass batting stances because of Rafael Devers and Yordan Alvarez and the healthy fear I have for those guys. Allen Robinson was on with us today at 11 o'clock. He was great. We talked about the Bears of now. We got into a little bit of the trauma of 2018 and Allen Robinson's opinion on how they should have handled Mitch Trubisky. So if you want to check that out on the Odyssey app, 11 a.m., we would allow you to go back and look at that. And we just talked overs and unders on some of the Bears' skill position players.
It's halftime.
First of all, an update from my Aunt Rhonda, who told me after via text. She's a huge Bears fan, lives and dies with the Bears like the rest of us. And she told me she played along with our what would make a successful season for the Bears. And she promptly said beating Green Bay twice. And so I said, yeah, that is classic Aunt Rhonda. It's her meatball take. And I said, I bet she's listening. And then Rhonda says, yes, I was listening. I don't know about being a meatball person, but a very successful year is beating Green Bay twice. Love you. And Rhonda, look at me. If you're listening right now, I think she feels like that connotation of a meatball is bad.
No.
I'm a human, not a meatball. Why am I a meatball?
That's grabber. Aunt Rhonda, you have to wear that with pride. Pride. You're a good meatball. And?
It's halftime.
All right, let's get to it. Here's the headline. Bride who made a single sheet for her wedding responds to backlash. Bride who made a single sheet for her wedding responds to backlash. Now, the first question is, what's a single sheet? I think it's a great thing. I think it's an ingenious thing. Jessica and Louis Branda introduced a creative and for some controversial alternative to a singles table at their June 30th wedding. Inspired by a video her friend sent her, Jessica Branda printed out a quote-unquote single sheet to place on all 12 tables at her wedding reception. The paper, she says, was designed by her friend on Canva and featured photos of 30 single guests at the East Brunswick, New Jersey wedding. Flirty, fabulous, and potentially your future plus one. That's the quote that the sheet read under the title, Tonight's Most Eligible. Quote, yes, this is a matchmaking attempt. You're welcome, end quote. The Brandas wrote at the bottom of the sheet, along with a disclaimer that every featured guest on the sheet was over 18 years old.
Good.
Jessica Branda tells Today.com that she decided to include the idea in her wedding when she was looking for fun, last-minute additions to the end of the planning process. Quote, when you're planning a wedding, you just want to keep adding stuff. I was trying to find things that I can add that might make it a little bit more unique or spice up the night that didn't cost too much money. Jessica Branda says that, as far as she knows, none of her guests paired up during the wedding, but the sheet did lead to some laughs and conversations. Now, she posted a video of the sheet on her TikTok. It received over 1 million views. However, not all users approved of the idea. Quote, I would absolutely hate this as a single person, end quote. One viewer commented, if I went to a wedding and saw myself on one of these, I'd take back my gift. That's what another person added.
Are these ugly people?
They are ugly people. Yeah. Like, what?
What?
Jessica Branda says that while the single sheet might not be the right fit for everyone, it was a hit with her crowd. She says that after the video started to gain attention online, she double-checked with her friends to make sure no one took it the wrong way. Quote, I had people coming up to me saying how hilarious it was. I know my friends. They're not too sensitive. So I knew no one would have any bad feelings toward it. No one would feel upset, as some people have commented, end quote. This is brilliant. Have you been to a wedding this summer?
No, I'm going to one next week, though, actually. Yeah.
Have you been to a wedding this summer?
Oh, yes, I have.
Have you, Tyler, been to a wedding this summer?
I have not.
Okay, but here's what it does. It takes all of the wondering about, oh, I saw that person over there. I wonder if they're single.
Yeah.
And, like, you can have a date to your wedding and still be single, by the way.
I mean, what?
I found that out at a wedding I went to last summer.
Where you brought somebody that wasn't your girlfriend?
I thought she had a boyfriend. It was just her friend that she brought to the wedding because you get a plus one. And
oh, that's a weird move.
She let me know that she was very single and very available.
Wow.
But if I had a single sheet, I wouldn't have had these problems.
Right.
So last wedding I went to, we had a single friend and we were trying to figure out if someone else was single. So then we're all strategizing like, all right, we need this person to talk to her. We need that girl to talk to her. This guy, and it became like the fun of it. I could imagine at these weddings that'd be so fun, the strategizing of how to talk to them.
I mean, what single person doesn't go to a wedding with it in the back of their mind or maybe in the front of their mind? Maybe I'll meet somebody tonight.
I'm glad that you asked. According to etiquette expert Elise Swan,
she's an etiquette expert.
Yeah, she's an etiquette expert. She loves Brand's idea, But she said one important step should be considered. You should only include folks on the single sheet with their permission. Some folks may take offense to it. Others may not be comfortable putting it out there. Others may be single, but be in a self-care phase of life and just not ready to mingle. I respect that. But my thing is, if you're inviting people to your wedding, you should have a good enough read on your friends, your family, whatever, that you should know whether or not they're down for the single sheet.
I could solve the whole problem here, though. I don't want to, you know, undercut the segment, but don't we all know who the single people are when the old bouquet is thrown out there?
They don't do that anymore.
Really?
Did they do that at the wedding you went to, Robbie?
No, they did not.
Yeah, what? They don't do that anymore.
All the single ladies?
Only the olds all do the that.
Wait, what does the person win if they catch it?
They dance together. You dance with the babe.
No. That's not how it works. They throw the bouquet, and if the woman catches the bouquet, she's the next to get married.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's how that works, Grody. What did you say?
Oh, yeah, no, you're right.
What did you say, Grody?
You get to dance with the babe.
But no, the woman catches
you're right.
The...
Right, you're, right.
On up.
You're right. You're right. Wow. That's. Have you been to weddings where... I didn't realize that the bouquet thing wasn't in effect anymore.
No.
Did you... But you had to have been in those groups, right, where they throw the bouquet?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah,
I'm old enough to remember the time when that used to happen. And nobody wants to catch it?
Yes. They're jumping out of the
way. I'm telling you, the person who catches the bouquet, don't they dance with somebody? Don't they do a girl and a boy... A man and a woman.
A man does not catch a bouquet at any of the weddings I've been to.
Then I've been to some weird weddings.
They catch something else, don't they? I forget what
the garter. Maybe. So,
yeah, I think. So
maybe that happens. Maybe the garter catcher and the bouquet
maybe
catcher.
Maybe that was it. Yeah, and then you dance together. You're forced to dance together. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad.
Are you speaking from personal experience?
Well, no, either from her perspective or my perspective. I'm not saying I'm perfect either.
I have a story from the last wedding I went to, too. The dance floor was super wet. And, you know, obviously a lot of drinks in.
Yeah.
End of the night, dancing. Thought I could bust a move. Well, bam. Right on the... I ate the ground so hard.
So you did bust a move.
I did. I literally busted a move.
Real quick, before we break to get to five on it, what is the going rate if you're given cash at a wedding these days?
I think that was a five on it a couple months ago.
The hundo? Are we over 100 now?
I do 150.
150, okay.
I do 200.
Okay. Yeah, well, you got that TV money on the side.
Here we go.
You got that TV money banked. So,
no, I just you invite me to your wedding. It's your special day. I want you to feel
special. No, it was a serious question, actually.
Yeah. I usually try to hit up the wet registry and find something interesting, but if I can't, straight cash, homie.
Yes, Mark, wedding garter. So I guess we all have different experiences at our weddings.
Different cultural experiences with the weddings.
How about we rock a little five on
it? Let's do it.
We got five sick questions that we're going to ask about the Bears, the Cubs, the White Sox. We'll be part of five on it today, I think. Am I right?
I don't know.
We'll find out. It's all up to the tree, Robbie Turiano. It's the Raheem and Harris Show with me, Mark Grody, on the score.